Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Carole King, Tapestry.
Oh, okay.
All right. I know this album. I don't think I've ever heard it, though.
I have. It's been a while, but I'm pretty sure we have it somewhere.
Okay, so this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, Carole King brought the fledgling singer-songwriter phenomenon to the masses with Tapestry, one of the most successful albums in pop music history. A remarkably expressive and intimate record, it's a work of consummate craftsmanship. Always a superior pop composer, King reaches even greater heights as a performer. New songs like the hits It's Too Late and I Feel the Earth Move rank solidly with past glories, while songs like Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow and You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman take on added resonance when delivered in her own warm, compelling voice. With its reliance on pianos and gentle drumming, Tapestry is a light and airy work on its surface, occasionally skirting the boundaries of jazz, but it's also an intensely emotional record. The song's confessional and direct. In its time, it connected with listeners like few records before it, and it remains an illuminating experience decades later. Okay. Surprisingly short review on that, but... Anyway, so this album was released on February 10th, 1971. Genres are soft rock and pop. Label is Ode Records and A&M, and produced by Lou Adler. And there are 12 songs on the album, and it's split evenly between 6 and 6. And if this is your first time listening, what we do is we... take a pause halfway through the album and discuss halfway. And so if you're listening along, which we encourage you to do, I've linked the album in the show notes to both Spotify and Apple Music. And so the album starts with the song I Feel the Earth Move, and it side one ends on Way Over Yonder. So if you're listening along with us, that's where we'll stop. And I think without further ado, here is a Tapestry by Carole King. And here's the first song, I Feel the Earth Move. All right. And ending side one with Way Over Yonder. Yeah, I mean, I can see why this is considered one of the best albums of all time. I mean, it's like her voice is so smooth. The arrangements are really, really well done. This is pretty great.
Yeah, songwriting is top notch, but she's a well-seasoned songwriter even at this point. So
yeah, she wrote a lot of hits in the 60s for a lot of people. So. And some of the songs on here, well, I know So Far Away, I think Rod Stewart covered that. He had a hit with that one. I actually thought that was a Rod Stewart song. I didn't know she wrote that. But I do know some of those. Like, I do know I Feel the Earth Move and It's Too Late. I have heard those. Like Home Again and then Way Over Yonder, her vocal performance on that was really well done. This is kind of reminding me a little bit of, it's that sort of, you know, 70s singer songwriter sound like Jackson Browne and people like that. So it's kind of reminding me of that sort of thing.
Similar kind of production sound. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good album, for sure. I always thought it was sort of an odd choice, or an odd, it was a bit odd that it became one of the best selling, just because of what it is. And it's not to say it's not great. I mean, I think it's as good as it deserves. But there's a lot of other albums out there that are, you know, similar, you know, songwriters putting out their own stuff and are probably just as good that never get the attention. It's just interesting how this one got the attention.
Well,
I'm not exactly sure how that happened.
Well, I think part of it could be like it could be that because the songs are so emotional and I think a lot of the space, even in the singer songwriter space, is mostly made up of guys, and I think there's a lot more guys in that space, and so it sort of gets jumbled. And I think women may have been drawn to this, I think women, in the same way that women are drawn to Taylor Swift today, she writes songs that are very relatable and things that women can identify with and say, oh, that's, you know, you're going through a horrible breakup. Well, I'm going through that too. You know?
Yeah, it could be. I just find it interesting how it got the promotion, I think is the word I'm trying to think. It's sort of interesting how it got the promotion. And again, I'm not slagging it at all. I think it is a good album and it deserves all the accolades it gets. I just find it a little bit weird that, you know, it got to be. I mean, people are sort of used to it. But when you really think about it, it's just like, you know, sure, she's a seasoned songwriter and stuff like that, but there's a lot of seasoned songwriters who put out their own stuff and they never get heard because they're just not a household name. And she wound up being a household name just on this record, basically.
Yeah. And yeah, when this was her second solo album, I mean, she had already put out an album a year or two before this one. So yeah, so it's like, why didn't that one catch on? And why this one? I think it was, it's also like, I think it's just like right place, right time kind of thing. I don't know. It's one of those things that just like blows up. Like, you know, like why did Nirvana blow up in 1991? You know, why did the Beatles blow up in 1963? I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, can't really explain it. It's just like people just love it for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just has a certain something to it. Yeah. It's, I guess it's, just one of them things.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, like you were saying, like she's a seasoned songwriter. She wrote, I was just reading about her. She wrote a lot of stuff for like the Monkees, and I think she wrote Hang On Sloopy by the McCoys.
Did she write that?
I think so.
Interesting. I know she wrote stuff for like, well, she was at that in New York, the Brill Building. She was one of the key songwriters there with her then husband, whose name completely escapes me at the moment.
She didn't write Hang On Sloopy. Her then husband was Jerry Goffin.
Yeah, Jerry Goffin.
Yeah, she wrote, it says some of the songs. She wrote The Locomotion.
Okay.
Keep Your Hands Off My Baby. I'm Into Something Good.
Mm.
One Fine Day, Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Yeah, the One Fine Day and stuff like that. That's what I was sort of thinking about in the you know, early mid 60s, those girl groups and stuff like that. She wrote a lot of stuff for them.
She also wrote that song for the Animals, Don't Bring Me Down.
Oh yeah.
She wrote, she like she had a lot. Yeah, she wrote a lot. She wrote a lot of stuff that you just, you didn't, don't know that she wrote. So she definitely, I think, you know, obviously those, I think that might be why this album is so good, is because she, like, she had to be pretty young when she was doing that. So, and just like, obviously at the Brill Building, the songwriting there is, it's a job and you write songs to be hits. And so I think just honestly, I think just putting in the time to do that and what, you know, just putting in the practice and just, you know, just doing it over and over. I mean, I think once, when it comes time to, you know, do her, her own album, I think, and, you know, write some stuff that's a little more personal, it's like, okay, so she knows how to write a hit song. And it's like, okay, well, I can apply that, what I've learned and what I've practiced, to something that's more personal. And I think that the combination of the two is sort of what makes this album work so well too.
Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, no, my point was the, you know, other songwriters, I mean, who've gone through similar things seem to have a harder time getting their album out there. I just find it interesting how this one got to be as popular as it did. But again, it deserves it. It's a very good album.
So I guess we'll move on to the second side of the album. And it starts with the song, You've Got a Friend. So here we go. All right, and ending the album with You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty great album. I don't really know much what else to say about it. I mean, it's I liked these. I like every song, I think, fits the album really well. I don't think there's really one song that, like, sticks out or anything. It works as a whole piece. And I think, but like, you can, there's obviously, she had a few hits off of it too. So like, you don't have to listen to the whole album to, you know, you can listen to individual songs. It works both ways. And it's, yeah, it's just really well done, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a interesting choice to do some songs that were already hits for other people, "Will You Love Me Tomorrow" and "A Natural Woman."
She wrote the songs. I think "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural." That was Aretha Franklin did that.
Yep.
Which actually we covered on one of our earliest episodes.
I guess we did.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I also "You've Got a Friend." I think James Taylor did that.
I think James Taylor did that one. I was wondering if maybe he actually wrote that one, because I think I heard somewhere that she decided she was going to do one cover on this, but I can't remember if that's for sure. She either wrote it and he did it.
She did write it.
Okay, well, it's her song then.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did do that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he released it, you know, shortly after the album came out. So I think maybe he, like, it's one of those things where she wrote it for him, but also she decided to record it too.
Yeah. I think they just sort of decided that they both were going to do it.
So. Yeah. I remember seeing a video on YouTube of the two of them performing it together. So it's one of those, like, I mean, She's a very prolific songwriter. I mean, this is, and the, like, the qual, there isn't a lesser quality song on the album. I mean, all of them are.
Yeah, like, there's no bad songs on the album. I mean, that's one thing that this album definitely has going for it. It's a slam dunk when it comes to you know, all the songs on it.
Yeah. And I mean, she's a really great singer too. And that's the thing that you don't always get with songwriters who are just songwriters, is they're not always the best singers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Apparently she was nervous about her voice at first. She didn't know if she was like a really good singer or anything like that. It took other people encouraging her.
Yeah. Seems to be the case with a lot of singers, or a lot of people who don't see themselves as singers. I know Jimi Hendrix was very self-conscious of his voice. Yeah, that's very common with people who are, you know, are going to sing, but they're not, they have the voice, but they don't have the confidence. There's nothing to complain about her voice. She has a very unique voice. It's a little bit nasally, but it's not annoying nasal. It's a very, and she can do it. She's a really good singer. She's got that bit of raspiness too, like a soul R&B singer, you know?
Yeah. Just a hint of it. Yeah. It's not a lot, but it's in there a little bit. Yeah. She's actually got a really unique voice for doing this and unique in a good way for sure. It's not like, oh, unique as in Bob Dylan's voice.
No, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and I love Bob Dylan stuff. Don't get me
wrong. Oh, yeah.
But,
yes.
Yeah, he's definitely got a unique voice.
He definitely has a unique voice. Yes. Yeah. So I guess that brings us to the question is, like, would you listen to this again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure I will at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes up every once in a while, so.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's, I was very pleasantly surprised. I mean, I knew a few songs, wasn't that familiar with her, and I didn't know this album, but, I'll definitely listen to this again. I really, really enjoyed it. So I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. We want to hear from you whether you agree or disagree with our review of the album. You can do that by going to the contact page. It's polyphonicpress.com/contact. And while you're there, you can check out old episodes and lots of cool stuff like that. And if you feel inclined, you can also help us out on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress, and you can get these episodes the week before they go live, or a day before they go live. I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.